Hey everyone, ready for another deep dive? This time, it's going to get pretty intense. We're going way back to ancient history and tackling a biblical prophecy that always gets people talking.
Oh yeah, Ezekiel's prediction about the destruction of Tyre.
That's the one. We're going to explore whether a prophecy can still be accurate, even if it unfolds over centuries.
What's so interesting about this particular prophecy is that it's been used to argue for and against the Bible's accuracy. And then there's this one part of the prophecy that was fulfilled in a way that, well, you'll see, it's almost too perfect.
Okay, I'm intrigued. But before we get too deep into it, let's set the scene. Ezekiel was a prophet, right? And he was living during a really tough time for the Jewish people.
Yeah, think 6th century BC. The Jewish people had been conquered by the Babylonians, and many were living in exile, like far from their homeland.
So they're going through it, and then this guy comes along with more bad news.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He had to deliver some tough messages, both to his fellow exiles and about what would happen to Jerusalem.
Okay, so balancing hope and warning must have been a tough gig. But before we get to the Tyre prophecy, what about this big vision Ezekiel has, the one that sets the stage for everything else?
It's described in the very first chapter of Ezekiel, and it's wild. Imagine windstorms, flashes of lightning, glowing metal.
Yeah.
Then he sees these four creatures, and they have multiple faces and wings.
Wait, multiple faces, like on one creature?
Yeah. And there are wheels within wheels, kind of like a, I don't know, cosmic chariot or
Yeah.
something. It's very sci-fi. And then finally, this throne of sapphire appears.
Wheels within wheels. Okay, now I really want to see a visual representation of this thing. It's like a celestial chariot. But what did it all mean for Ezekiel and the people at the time?
It was a huge deal for the exiled Jewish people. They were feeling defeated, lost, you know, far from home. This vision reassured them that the God of Israel was still powerful and present, even though things were rough. It was like a reminder that they weren't forgotten.
A much-needed message of hope during a dark time.
Absolutely. But, and there's always a but, it also sets the stage for some of Ezekiel's tougher prophecies, like the one about Jerusalem's coming destruction.
And that's where Tyre enters the picture. They weren't exactly sympathetic to Jerusalem's plight, were they?
Not really. Tyre was this powerful Phoenician city-state, known for its trade and wealth. And they kind of saw the fall of Jerusalem as a business opportunity, like, oh, less competition for us, you know, rubbing salt in the wound.
Yeah, not the best way to make friends. And I'm guessing that's what sparked Ezekiel's prophecy against Tyre.
Bingo. In chapter 26, he lays it out. He says Tyre will be attacked by many nations. First up, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the same guy who conquered Jerusalem.
So already things aren't looking good for Tyre.
Nope. Ezekiel goes on to describe the destruction of Tyre's walls, its wealth being plundered. He even talks about the stones and timber being thrown into the sea. It's a picture of total devastation.
Wow, it completely wiped off the map. Did it actually happen like that?
That's where things get interesting. We know from history that Nebuchadnezzar did lay siege to Tyre, and for a long time, 13 years. But he didn't totally destroy the city. The island part of Tyre held out.
So, did Ezekiel get it wrong then?
Not so fast.
Yeah.
We need to go back to what he actually said. If you look closely at chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, he doesn't just say Nebuchadnezzar will attack, he says that many nations will come against Tyre. Nebuchadnezzar was just the first wave.
Ah, okay. So the complete destruction of Tyre could happen over a longer period. But what about those stones and timber being thrown into the sea?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Enter Alexander the Great, you know, the guy who conquered pretty much
Yeah,
everything.
Alexander the Great, always riding into battle on his trusty steed.
So it's 332 BC, and Alexander wants to take Tyre, but Tyre's basically an island fortress at this point.
Okay, so how do you conquer an island fortress?
Well, Alexander's engineers came up with an incredibly audacious plan. They built this massive causeway to reach the island. And what did they use to build it? The debris from the mainland portion of Tyre.
No way. Talk about poetic justice. They literally used the ruins of the old city to conquer the new one.
It's almost too perfect. They unintentionally fulfilled Ezekiel's prophecy in a way that nobody could have predicted. But even after Alexander's conquest, Tyre wasn't completely finished. It was rebuilt and continued for centuries under different rulers.
So it sounds like the prophecy wasn't a one-time event, but more like a process that played out over time.
Right. And Tyre's story is far from over.
All right, welcome back to our deep dive into Ezekiel's prophecy against Tyre. Last time we left off with Alexander the Great and that incredible causeway he built. Do you think he knew about Ezekiel's prophecy when he did that?
It's really hard to say, you know, history is full of those little what ifs. But anyway, as we were saying, that conquest wasn't the end for Tyre. The city actually bounced back, didn't it?
It did, which makes me think about its fate under Roman rule. Would you say that supports Ezekiel's prophecy or goes against it?
Oh, that's a good question. It's not a simple answer. So, after Alexander died, his empire was divided up, right? Tyre ended up being controlled by the Seleucid Empire. They were like the successors trying to keep things going. And Tyre actually went through a period of rebuilding and revival under their rule.
Okay, so it was still a port city, just not as powerful as it had been before.
Right, exactly. And then around 198 BC, the Seleucids lost control, and Tyre became part of the Roman province of Syria.
The Roman Empire. Okay, so what happened then?
Well, get this. Under Roman rule, Tyre actually flourished. It became a major center of trade and commerce again.
Really? That doesn't sound like a city that's about to be destroyed.
I know. Remember, processes can unfold over long periods. And the Romans, they were all about practicality. They saw how valuable Tyre was as a trading hub. It was a real melting pot of cultures, super bustling and cosmopolitan.
So Tyre's doing great under the Romans. Was its famous purple dye industry still a thing?
Oh, yeah, totally. Tyre was still super famous for that luxury purple dye made from murex snails. Can you imagine those Tyrian purple robes worn by Roman emperors?
Oh, so opulent. What a status symbol. Was there anything else Tyre was known for at this time?
Oh, yeah. They were also a major center for silk production. Tyrian silk was like the height of fashion throughout the empire.
So bustling markets, merchants from all over, Tyre's a happening place. Did anything change when the Roman Empire started to decline?
Yes, Tyre's luck started to change as the Roman Empire split into East and West. Tyre became part of the Byzantine Empire, the Eastern Roman Empire. And while it was still important strategically, things weren't as peaceful or stable. There were a lot of conflicts and power struggles, and Tyre changed hands a few times.
So those cracks that Ezekiel talked about were starting to show.
Yeah, you could say that. But the real turning point was in 638 AD, when Tyre was conquered by the Rashidun Caliphate. That's when Islamic rule in Tyre began.
Wow, another major power shift.
It was. And it had consequences that lasted for centuries. But you know what's interesting? Even under Islamic rule, Tyre continued to be a pretty important port. It benefited from new trade routes that connected the Islamic world with the Mediterranean.
So Tyre just kept adapting, huh?
Exactly. But it did get caught up in the conflicts between Muslim powers and the Byzantine Empire.
So in the middle of it all again, it's wild how this one city was at the heart of so much history.
Right. Then came the Crusades.
The Crusades, those huge religious wars where European Christians were trying to recapture the Holy Land.
Exactly. And in 1124, Tyre was captured by the Crusaders and became a major stronghold for the Kingdom of Jerusalem.
So Tyre's gone from Babylonians to Alexander the Great to the Romans and Byzantines and now the Crusaders. That's got to be some kind of record.
Talk about a front row seat to history. The Crusades brought all sorts of people to Tyre, European Christians, Muslims, Eastern Christians. It became a melting pot yet again, even serving as the capital of the Kingdom of Jerusalem for a time.
Tyre was nothing if not resilient. But I'm guessing this Crusader period didn't last forever.
You're right. In 1291, the Mamluks conquered Tyre, and that brought an end to Crusader rule.
Yeah.
And this time, the conquest was really destructive.
Okay, so is this it? Is this where Ezekiel's prophecy finally comes true?
It is. The Mamluks left Tyre in ruins, and it never really recovered. There were some small settlements over the centuries, but Tyre basically ceased to exist as a major city.
So after centuries of bouncing back, Tyre finally meets the fate that Ezekiel predicted. That is incredible. What a journey this city has been on.
I know, right? It really makes you think about the people who lived in Tyre through all those different periods. What did they think about Ezekiel's prophecy as their city went through all these ups and downs?
I'm ready to unpack all that and more in part three. Welcome back, everyone. We've been on quite a journey with ancient Tyre, haven't we?
We have. From Phoenician powerhouse to Roman trading hub, Crusader stronghold, and finally, to ruins.
It's amazing how one city saw so much history unfold, and all through the lens of Ezekiel's prophecy. So, thinking back to what we talked about at the beginning, do you think a prophecy can be accurate even if it, like, happens over centuries?
I think Tyre's story really shows us how prophecy can work on different levels.
Yeah.
It's not always about specific dates or taking everything literally. Sometimes it's more about the big picture, you know, the overall direction history takes.
So zooming out and looking at the long view of history.
Exactly. And with Tyre, Ezekiel wasn't just predicting events. He was warning about pride and what happens when, you know, you celebrate other people's misfortune.
Right. Tyre was pretty happy about Jerusalem falling, and that kind of came back to bite them. That's a pretty timeless message, isn't it?
Totally. We see it all the time. It's human nature to gloat a little when a rival messes up. But Tyre's story shows us that it's not a good look in the long run.
It's kind of like that saying, he who laughs last laughs best. But sometimes nobody's laughing because we're all caught up in the cycle of winning and losing.
That's a great point. History isn't just about winners and losers. It's way more complicated than that. It's all these interconnected events and choices that weave together.
Which makes it so fascinating. So back to Ezekiel's accuracy. We talked about how Nebuchadnezzar didn't completely destroy Tyre and how some people use that to say Ezekiel was wrong. But we know that's not the whole story.
Right. Remember, Ezekiel never said Nebuchadnezzar would be the only one to attack Tyre. He said many nations would be involved, and that's exactly what happened. And then there's that detail about the stones and timber being thrown into the sea. I mean, come on, Alexander the Great building his causeway out of Tyre's ruins. That's unbelievable.
It's almost too perfect. It shows how prophecy can be literal and symbolic at the same time. And then there's the difference between Tyre and Sidon. Ezekiel condemned both cities, but only Tyre was supposed to be completely wiped out.
And what do we see today? Tyre's an archaeological site, while Sidon is still a thriving city. That kind of detail in Ezekiel's prophecy is amazing. It shows how important it is to pay attention to the little things, not just the big events.
So after this deep dive into Ezekiel's prophecy against Tyre, what's the biggest takeaway for you?
I think it's a reminder that prophecy unfolds over time, and often in ways we don't expect. We need to be patient, pay attention, and be open to complexity. We can't always try to make things fit into neat little boxes.
Well said. History, like prophecy, has a way of keeping us on our toes.
It sure does.
We hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into biblical prophecy and how it can still be relevant today. We've seen how Ezekiel's words about Tyre played out over centuries, offering insights into pride, resilience, and the twists and turns of history.
It just goes to show that there's always more to uncover, more layers to peel back when it comes to these ancient texts.
So keep asking questions, keep digging deeper, and keep exploring the fascinating world of history and prophecy. Thanks for joining us.